天和大家一起收看的是保守派的这样的一个活动组织 Turning Point 转折点，为他们的创办人也就是查理赫举办的一个大型的追悼会。那么早些时候呢，外界预计是有10万人参加这一场追悼会，而目前根据得到的消息，大概是有20万人都参加了这样的一场活动。那么白宫呢，是川普总统然后副总统万斯带着一众白宫的内阁成员到前线去参加了这样的一场一个盛大的集会吧，应该说是。很多人说这是由一场葬礼演变成了一场复兴，变成了美国弥合的一个机会。
But when Charlie was asked in an interview how he'd want to be remembered, he said, I want to be remembered for my courage, for my faith. And let me tell you guys, those were not empty words. For me, it was inspiring. And now, in the face of unthinkable loss, Erica has shown extraordinary courage. Not only as a mother,but in stepping forward to carry on Charlie's mission as the CEO of Turning Point USA. Charlie always brought out the best in all of us. When Charlie first said to me during the 2016 campaign, hey, let's start doing events on college campuses, I was like, whoa, seriously? Come on, man.We've given up on that. We're going to let those kids grow up, and we'll get them when they start paying taxes. But he convinced me to give it a shot. And there were a couple events that showed just how brave and courageous Charlie was, even as a very young man. At Michigan State University, 5 minutes before we were supposed to go on stage, the state police...told us, and I quote, we can no longer guarantee your safety. Because the left-wing activists, they were going crazy. It was rough. That sounded like a great reason to pack it up and head out. But it was one of the many times that I would agree with Charlie, who said, no way, we're going out there anyway.At one of the last events of the 2024 campaign at Arizona State, some lunatic called it a threat to try to keep us from going on the stage. Again, we went out there anyway, without fear. Charlie led the way. His message was clear then, and his message is clear now. We won't back down.We won't be intimidated. The Bible says over 100 times in the pages of Scripture, do not be afraid. And the 100,000 people here today are a signal to the world. Our message of faith, family, and country will not be silenced.It always amazes me how Charlie chose to use his platform. He had one of the largest microphones in the entire conservative movement. And what did he do with it? Day after day, week after week, he handed it to the very people who opposed him most. The media tried to smear him as some sort of dangerous radical.But Charlie embodied something at the very core of our movement. When people disagree with us, we don't silence them. We don't destroy them, and we certainly don't sink to violence. We don't burn down their businesses. We don't scream at their children at Disneyland.No, we debate, we stand tall, and we win with our ideas. The true extremists are those who would justify and celebrate taking an innocent life over nothing more than disagreement. That is the real radicalism, and we reject it completely. Charlie delighted in his belief that people could be persuaded. He believed the way to win hearts was with truth, with courage, and with conversation. He would always be the first to say, "You are welcomed here." And that's what I want to leave you with today. If we're truly going to honor Charlie properly, his loss cannot be the end of the story. His legacy must be that when they took his life, a million more Charlies stepped up to fill the void.
Ladies and gentlemen, the Vice President of the United States of America, J.D. Vance.
Thank you. Thank you all so much. You know, I can't help but think that they tried to silence my friend Charlie Kirk. They tried to silence our dear friend Charlie Kirk. And today, tonight, we speak with Charlie and for Charlie louder than ever. In the wake of his death, we have seen some of the very worst parts of humanity. We have watched people slander him. We have watched people justify his murder and celebrate his death. I know that this makes you angry just as it has made me angry. But it is easy in these moments to see only the worst of our fellow man. I found myself wishing that I could pick up the phone and talk to my friend and ask him for his advice and his counsel, to ask him how to respond to such hate and the souls from which that hate springs. But I can't call my friend because he was murdered for speaking the truth. I can only guess at what he might say and what he would encourage me to do. And here's what I think. I think he would encourage me to be honest that evil still walks among us. Not to ignore it for the sake of a fake kumbaya moment, but to address it head on and honestly as the sickness that it is. But I also think he would encourage me, he would encourage all of us to focus on the good. He would encourage us to remember that for every hateful voice celebrating his murder, there are 1,000 people mourning it and fighting for his legacy every single day. It is better to die a young man in this world than to sell your soul for an easy life with no purpose, no risk, no love, and no truth. I've seen so many of you say, so many on social media talk about "for Charlie." We must do this for Charlie. For Charlie, we will speak the truth every single day. For Charlie, we will rebuild this United States of America to greatness. For Charlie, we will never shrink, we will never cower, and we will never falter, even when staring down the barrel of a gun. For Charlie, we will remember that it is better to stand on our feet defending the United States of America and defending the truth than it is to die on our knees. My friends, for Charlie, we must remember that he is a hero to the United States of America and he is a martyr for the Christian faith.
Please give a warm welcome to Mrs. Erica Kirk.
God bless all of you for coming here from all over the world to honor and celebrate my Charlie. 11 days ago, God accepted that total surrender from my husband and then called him to his side. I saw the wound that ended his life. I felt everything you would expect to feel. I felt shock. I felt horror and a level of heartache that I didn't even know existed. But there was something else too. Even in death, I could see the man that I love. I saw the one single gray hair on the side of his head, which I never told him about. Now he knows. Sorry, baby, telling you now, but never told him. Didn't want to. I also saw this. I also saw on his lips the faintest smile. And that told me something important. It revealed to me a great mercy from God in this tragedy. When I saw that, it told me Charlie didn't suffer. After Charlie's assassination, we didn't see violence. We didn't see rioting. We didn't see revolution. Instead, we saw what my husband always prayed he would see in this country. We saw revival. This past week, we saw people open a Bible for the first time in a decade. We saw people pray for the first time since they were children. We saw people go to a church service for the first time in their entire lives. While Charlie died far too early, he was also ready to die. There was nothing he was putting off. There was nothing that was too hard or too painful or nothing that he just felt like he didn't want to do it. He left this world without regrets. He did 100% of what he could every day. But I want you to know something. Charlie died with incomplete work, but not with unfinished business. The greatest cause in Charlie's life was trying to revive the American family. When he spoke to young people, he was always eager to tell them about God's vision for marriage and how, if they could just dare to live it out, it would enrich every part of their life in the same way that it enriched ours. And someone once asked me how Charlie and I, how we kept our marriage so strong when he was busy traveling. And our little secret, it was love notes. Every Saturday, Charlie wrote one for me, and he never missed a Saturday. And in every single one of them, he'd tell me what his highlight was for the week, how grateful he was for me and our babies. And always at the end, he would always end it with asking the most beautiful question. He'd always end it by asking, "Please let me know how I can better serve you as a husband." I was Charlie's confidant. I was his vault. His closest and most trusted advisor, his best friend. I poured into him and loved him so deeply, empowered him, because his love for me drove me to be a better wife. My husband, Charlie, he wanted to save young men just like the one who took his life. Young man. On the cross, our Savior said, "Father, forgive them, for they not know what they do." That man, that young man, I forgive him. So I promise you today, every part of our work will become greater. I am tremendously honored to be the new CEO of Turning Point USA. And I will make you proud. God bless you all, and God bless America.
Less than 2 weeks ago, our country was robbed of one of the brightest lights of our times. a giant of his generation, and above all, a devoted husband, father, son, Christian, and patriot. Charles James Kirk was heinously murdered by a radicalized, cold-blooded monster for speaking the truth that was in his heart. He was violently killed because he spoke for freedom and justice, for God and country, for reason and for common sense. He was assassinated because he lived bravely, he led boldly, and he argued brilliantly without apology. He did what was right for our nation. For millions of Americans, especially young people, it is agonizing and unthinkable to say goodbye to a patriot whose heart still had so much to give. It's so much. Raised in the suburbs of Chicago, Charlie was filled with a patriotic spirit from his youth, and he was an all-American in everything he did. And one of the last things he said to me is, "Please, sir, save Chicago. We're going to do that. We're going to save Chicago from horrible crime." Call me all the time, "Sir, we have our country to save." I said, "Charlie, thanks very much for telling me that. I appreciate it." Charlie volunteered for my 2016 campaign and traveled the nation with my son Don and Eric. I got to know him very well and saw immediately that Charlie was actually a master builder of people. It was Charlie who first started organizing young black conservatives hungry for support and leadership. It was Charlie who stood up for persecuted Christians and Jews on college campuses. It was Charlie who helped bring online censorship, free speech, and cancel culture to the fore of our political debate. He was right up there with me. It was Charlie who helped unite MAGA. Charlie didn't just bring young people into the movement. All of a sudden, it started to grow by leaps and bounds. By 2024, we won more young people than any Republican candidate in the history of our country, including, for the first time, a majority of males under 30. Can you believe it? Remember when Republican presidential candidates would get 4%? No, we did unbelievably with young people. And he was a big, big factor. Unbelievable. But he made me work for it. "Sir, you have to make a speech here. You have to make a speech there." But we did it, and we won, and our country is doing unbelievably well now. We had a country that was dead 1 year ago, and now we have the hottest country anywhere in the world. And Charlie helped us make it that. One of the great people. But through it all, the core of Charlie's message and his basic method never changed. It never really changed. He stayed the same person also. At every campus event, Charlie asked the people who disagreed with him to come forward, and instead of silencing them, he handed them a microphone and let them speak. And he'd convinced so many of them. It was a pretty amazing thing to watch, actually. Shortly before Charlie arrived on campus, the day he was assassinated, a staff member texted him that there were many critics and students who were opposed to his views, and rather strenuously in the crowd. And that actually made him feel good, because he wanted to convince them. He understood. He really did. He understood what was right. And he was right about that. A lot of it was based on common sense, by the way. Charlie wrote back to the staff member, saying, "I'm not here to fight them. I want to know them and love them, and I want to reach them and try and lead them into a great way of life in our country." In that private moment on his dying day, we find everything we need to know about who Charlie Kirk truly was. He was a missionary with a noble spirit and a great, great purpose. He did not hate his opponents. He wanted the best for them. That's where I disagreed with Charlie. I hate my opponent. And I don't want the best for them. I'm sorry. I am sorry, Erica. But now Erica can talk to me and the whole group, and maybe they can convince me that that's not right, but I can't stand my opponent. Charlie's angry, looking down. He's angry at me now. He wasn't interested in demonizing anyone. He was interested in persuading everyone to the ideas and principles he believed were good, right, and true. Before each appearance, he prayed these words, God, use me for your will. Always said the same thing, use me for your will. But that's why I will soon award Charlie the nation's highest civilian honor, the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It's the highest civilian honor. And we will do the ceremony at our beautiful White House in a very safe Washington, D.C., a place that Charlie truly revered. In Seoul, South Korea, crowds gathered to wave American flags and shout, we are for Charlie Kirk. His memory has been honored in the streets of Berlin, Warsaw, Vienna, Sydney, Madrid, London, Tel Aviv, and all over the world. So beautiful to watch. A man as far away as rural Australia texted a pastor, I'm going to come to church tomorrow for the first time ever. The pastor asked, why is that? The man replied, because of Charlie Kirk. Can you imagine? Charlie created something very special. It's called Turning Point USA. And under the leadership and love of Erica, it will become bigger and better and stronger than ever before. So, Charlie, we all want to thank you. We want to say a very loud God bless you, Charlie. God bless you for what you've done is incredible. And God bless Erica and the children. God bless the United States of America. And could I ask Erica, please come out. Erica, please come out. Thank you.
现在看到画面上呢，已经是现在这个集会已经是结束了。从下午美东时间的下午2点钟到现在，已经是长达5个小时的时间，是有多位的白宫内阁成员发表了讲话。那么早些时候呢，我们看到国家情报总监加巴德，然后国务卿卢比奥、战争部长赫格塞斯，还有卫生部长小肯内迪、川普的大儿子小川普、副总统万斯。克克的这个遗孀艾丽卡·克克，她是已经发表了讲话。那么最后是川普总统的长时间的讲话，那么大概是持续了快一个小时的时间呢。我们知道，刚才川普总统提到了很多他和查理·克克接触的这些瞬间，非常的感人。那么其实，在今天晚上的一个最大的一个争议点，现在很多媒体都在谈啊，就是说，我们看到查理的遗孀，他是提到说他原谅了自杀查理·克克的这个嫌犯，那么川普总统呢是提到说他无法去和他们达成共识，他觉得这样的一个嫌犯应该是被执行死刑，因为美国不能存在这样的谋杀。然后呢，川普总统还提到了很多像是要把这样的一个 turning point 延续下去。现在呢，在我们的线上已经邀请到了一位嘉宾，是资深的媒体人李素先生。是，刚才我相信您也是一直在收看这一场集会这样的一场直播，能不能谈谈您的总体感受？
川普总统的这个儿子，他的这个发言我也是非常的印象深刻。就是他在强调说，查理·柯克在跟人家与人相处的时候，他不是去压服人家，他不是拒绝人家，而是说我们来讨论，我们把所有的不同的东西拿来讨论来辩论。所以他去面对所有的那些跟他观点不一致的人，就不好像说是在这个有的时候他可能面对的一些这个威胁，包括这个人身安全的威胁，他都置之不理，他都说我要去。甚至是刚才我们说到，就是说他要去的地方，人家说我们这很多人对你是不感冒的、不高兴的、不同意你的说法，那么他就是说我就要去。正好 越多的不同意的人，我越要去说。那么在这个过程中呢，不同的这个发言人，这个在讲话的人呢，也都说了，他实际上是征服了很多的人。原来这个对他不满意，原来不喜欢听他的话的，原来的观点就跟他非常不一致的，也都征服了。所以这个川普总统也提到了这一点，就是年轻人本来传统上，年轻人呢是比较支持这个自由派的这个人的政治这个候选人的，而在这个去年的大选里边呢，这个他们是得到了大多这个很多的这个年轻人这个是支持，30岁以下的人支持，所以这个他总的来说呢是一个非常的一个，就是说大家说是应该用平和的，这个理智的、辩论的、讨论的方式来去解决纷争，而不是用暴力的这个解决纷争。我这个是印象最深刻的东西。当然，刚才也提到了，就是川普总统说我没有办法原谅这个凶手，但是我想呢，他这个站的角度有点不一样。他毕竟是美国的总统，他是行政机构，他不可能说违法的人我原谅他。那原谅他什么意思？难道就不要去进行法律的追究吗？所以我想他可能有这样的考量，他毕竟他所处的角度不一样。
是，非常感谢李苏先生的总体观察。刚才我们看到画面上呢是难得的一幕，罕见的一幕，这一幕呢也被马斯克自己发到了他的推特上 X 平台上，就是他和川普总统坐在一起相谈甚欢这样的一个场景。那这也是很多人觉得非常惊讶的一幕，在这样的一个场合里。那么马斯克呢是写下这样一句话，他说这一切是为了查理·柯克，也就是说这样的一场集会，这样的一场盛会，让大家是把之前的那些不和变成了一种弥合。我们知道马斯克和川普总统是有这种分分合合好几个来回啊，应该说是。那今天为什么大家可以坐到一起，可以有这样的一种握手言和，就像小肯尼迪和川普总统在一起，他们走到了一起去，然后去拿下了这场大选，这样的一个场景一样，为什么会有这样的一种力量？唐浩是怎么看？
我记得我们在以前上次川普跟马斯克就是争执非常厉害的时候，我们那个时候就说他们最后一定会和好的，因为为什么要相远为国？因为他们的思维里头都有个共同的价值观，就是我要为了这个国家而努力，为了这个国家的团结，为了这个国家的未来发展繁荣而尽一份心力。只是说一个人走政治路线，一个人走经济发展路线。那后来呢，因为选举的关系，川普跟马斯克就开始就合流起来，然后就赢得了去年的大选。然后来因为一些细故纷争，然后又就散伙了。可是呢，查理·柯克这个事情，他唤醒了美国人最深层的价值观：自由。我要维护每个人的自由，每个个体的自由。但是今天有一个团体或组织或者说一股势力吧，左派势力，他可以为了达成他的所谓的政治正确的这种另类的价值观，而去杀害另一个人，来消灭他的声音。那这是对川普来说，对马斯克来说都是不允许的。所以呢，也让他们觉得说，这个时候有必要在一起站出来。一方面是为了查理·柯克来追悼、来纪念他；二方面是站出来一起为了这个国家本来的传统精神、传统价值观一起来守护，一起来，所以一起团结起来，一起亮相沟通。同时呢，也趁着机会啊，再向全世界宣告说，美国还是团结的，美国还是一个自由包容的国家。但是呢，就是说我们可以看到，川普他因为他是一个领导者的角色，所以他必须去追究法治上的责任。就像他刚刚不断的在敲打这个司法部长你一方面他敲打说一方面是说这个要对凶手进行这个追究，二方面是他过去这两天来一直在说，在对这些破坏国家法治的一些比较左派的人、激进的人，对，他一直讲激进左派嘛，那些人他也要去追究。所以我们可以看到川普呢在这个场合上，他其实说话已经算是很保守了哈，但是他就是说他也是为了大局在弥合整个美国的氛围，所以他跟马斯克一起来和一起在重修旧好。那方面呢，他也是在谈话当中不断的用轻松的语气在怀念Charlie Kirk， 也是让这个国家尽量的回到一个平和的状态。
对，他的这一幕应该说是影响力巨大，很多人现在都在转发他们的这张照片呢。那么在刚才我们看到查理克克他的遗孀就是 Erica 他上台演讲之前是很多人都觉得很动容，因为感人至深嘛，这样一段话。而在演讲之前，他先是走到台前，先是对着上天的那种深呼吸祈祷，在台前还有这种低头祈祷的感觉，让人看了真的是展现了一个信徒他在做很大的一个重要的决定之前所付出的这种勇气。而且他还提到查理克克是一个很有勇气的人。那么他说呢，在查理克克遇刺之后，我们没有看到暴力，我们没有看到骚乱，没有看到革命，他看到的是一场复兴，是他的先生之前最希望看到的国家应该有的样子。另外他也提到在查理克克去世之后，很多人因为他的这个离世，从而开始有了一个 turning point， 开始去教堂，开始去祷告，开始去了解圣经写的是什么。所以说我们看到查理克克的去世，今天的这样一场集会，让大家有了一种回归信仰的一种力量。李欣，你是怎么看，为什么这样的一个事件会有这么大的对于信仰的这种回归的这种拖拽力，是怎么看？
我觉得是查理克克他首先是一个虔诚的信仰者，而且呢他所主张的理念实际上是最有效的弥合左右两派的分歧啊，一个最好的方式呢就是用和平理性的方式来公开的辩论，因为呢真理是越辩越明的，用事实用事实来破解人们心中的一些个偏见也好，一些先入为主的一些个这些个什么不同的这些个帽子也好啊，去破除人们心中的这些毒素，我觉得他所做的这一切其实是最好的。那他离世之后呢，会有千千万万的，有上百万的新的查理克克，他们都说我们是就是查理克克，我们就是查理克克，会有更多的人去追寻他的脚步，去拿起他丢在地上的火炬，去继续他未完成的事业。我觉得美国 无论如何一定会走向更加的伟大，因为呢这是一个整个民族的一个觉醒。我感觉查理克克用他的鲜血然后让很多的人都觉醒了，这是一个转折点，同时呢也是一个让每个人来选择善恶正邪的一个
机会、
因为呢就是包括很多的左派或者中间派，或者说很多人说我以前一直在投票给某个党，但我查理克克这件事之后，我要变成一个保守派，我要变成一个信仰者，我要开始去读圣经，我要开始去教堂，就是很多人都转变了。
没错，
所以我觉得面对查理克克遇害这件事情，他是没有中间派的，每个人都要在善恶正邪当中做出选择。
是。你刚才说这一点让我想到刚才川普总统提到，没有信仰就没有美国，就没有这个国家，信仰是这个国家的基石，确实是这样。另外刚才我们看到有观众朋友在提问这个问题，我觉得子定可以来回答，就是说大家都在问马斯克跟川普今天是坐在一起，可是他们真的是可以真的重归于好吗？是真的会和好吗？
我觉得双方大的方向是会和好。为什么？就是政治界有个词叫求同存异，就是你不可能找到一个和你各方面想的都一样的。那马斯克和之前川普最大的分歧呢，可能就是说这个在预算方面，那个马斯克不认同川普的预算，但这从整个大的这个 picture 来讲的话，其实马斯克和川普认同的东西更多。那特别是查理克克这个不幸的事件，我觉得就是说是给双方带来了一个弥合的一个契机，因为在其他方面，无论是在价值观、在家庭、在美国未来发展方向上，其实马斯克和川普的想法很多是一样的。当我说到这个政治不同，我举个例子，就比如说这个托尔加西德，他在伊朗或者在叙利亚的问题上，可能想法和川普，包括川普内阁不太一样。就当时这个美国出动轰炸机去轰炸伊朗核设施的时候，就是很多人在川普上任的时候都有一个担心，特别是自由派有个担心，说川普会不会受不同人的影响，比如说土耳其加巴德他可能对叙利亚或者对俄罗斯有这样的想法，或者是这个副总统万斯因为印度的关系会不会对印度有影响，或者是因为特斯拉的关系和中共的关系受到影响。但事实证明川普他是完全按照自己的思路去做这些所有的这些事情。那他在袭击这个伊朗的过程中，我觉得他处理的是非常妥当，并没有受到其他人的一些担心。那现在和印度的这些纷争也证明了很多人的担心是无忧的，我觉得这是一个非常好的一个信号，就是川普他是一个 leader 他在按照自己认为对美国最好的方式在往前推进自己的这个议程。当然这个过程中可能会和不同的人有不同的分歧，比如说特斯拉的这个伊隆马斯克，但是最终在大的方向上，我觉得双方还是会走到合作的这个道路上来。
是，我们看到伊隆马斯克呢是在推特上说啊，查理是一个相信对话和公开辩论的人，他是一个有思想的人，他之所以被杀是因为他的言论产生了影响，因为他向人们展示了光明，而他被黑暗所杀。那么很多人都把今天的这一场盛大的集会叫做一场复兴。
我觉得刚刚我们从这么多人的演讲当中都提到了这是一个 turning point。
是，
那这个 turning point 它是一个复兴，大家提到 revival、
嗯、
那复兴分哪些层面的？刚刚其实各位都提到，第一个是信仰，对不对？对神性的回归，还有对人灵性的提升这方面呢，会在信仰越来越加强当中呢，可能会让更多美国人灵性更往神性来回归。
确实看到查理·克克他的最后的那个愿望是达到了，大家是记住了他对于信仰的勇气。好的，非常感谢大家和我们一起观看这场盛大的集会，我们今天节目就到这儿，谢谢收看，我们之后再见。